Gracious God, thank you that we can join and gather and rejoice that we are under the blood of the Lamb who died for us. Thank you that our identity is secure because of what you have done for us. It is finished. He is risen. And our future is secure. And so as we gather together and join in seeing your God, what you have in your word for us today, pray that you would guide my words that they may be yours, and that you continually form us into the image of the one who died for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you ever thought that there was something that you absolutely had to have? Had to have to be happy, to be whole, to whatever it is. Have you ever had that? I just have to have this. If I didn't have, fill in the blank, my life, I couldn't go on. I don't know what it might be for you. Maybe you've worked years in your career to get to a certain position and you're so close to it and you can see it and you just want it and you just, I need it. Or it could be that you've always dreamed of driving a red-hot Corvette or having that cabin on your favorite lake up north, and you work and dream and dream and work. Or I don't know what it might have been for you, but have you ever, it could be a small thing too, I don't know, but have you ever thought that there was something that you just couldn't live without? You just had to have it. If so, Abraham knows how you feel. Abraham and Sarah longed for a son. He just needed to have a son. In the ancient world, all of your hopes and all of your dreams for your future, your family, your legacy, they weren't wrapped up in your career or your income, your accounts, or your property. They were wrapped in one person, one thing, and that was your oldest son. Now, a lot of people quickly think, oh, that seems kind of primitive. But then the more I thought about it, I thought, well, that's actually quite relational. We think, well, future legacy wrapped up in what you can provide for yourself and give on to people. But this is really, it's your son, your oldest. The oldest son was the heir. They had to keep the family together. They were maintained, keeping the relationship with everyone, carrying on the family name, the family tree, family honor and heritage, all of that. And your firstborn son meant everything. And Abraham didn't have one. He had everything else. He was wealthy. Life was good, but he didn't have that. And God made a promise to him. God said, I will give you this, but not now. You have to wait and trust. And so in Genesis 12, God appears to him and says, hey, look up at the skies and see all the stars. As many as you see, that's how many descendants I'm going to give you. Just believe me and follow me. And now pack up your tents and camels and family and employees and start going, and I'll just lead you and tell you where to go. And Abraham did trust. Even though he was rich, he was safe, he was secure, he had a good life, but he didn't have the thing he wanted most, an heir to share it with and pass it on. And God said, I will give you a son, you have to trust me. And Abraham did, and so he became a nomad going around where God led. And he got older and older and more wrinkles in his eyes and still no son. The thing he wanted most in the world and the very thing God did promise hasn't come yet. And so Abraham got impatient with God. He said, you're taking too much time. I don't understand, God. I'll help you out. I'll figure it out on my own terms and this is the way you want. And so Abraham has a son with Sarah, his wife's servant, Hagar. And that's Ishmael. And he comes up in the reading today, and God says, no, that Abraham, you didn't trust me. Ishmael is not your heir of you and your wife. Ishmael was simply a symbol of Abraham loving his idol of a son more than trusting God. And finally, after years became decades and went on and on, Abraham finally got what he longed for. God appeared and said to them, you will have a son. And it says, Abraham fell on his face laughing. Because he said, I'm 100, she's 90. We may not have science textbooks, but we know a little bit about biology. This isn't going to work. But then Isaac was born, which means laughter. So God said, you're going to have a son and you're going to call his name Laughter, just after Abraham fell on the floor laughing. So Abraham finally gets what his heart wants most. And it seems like that should be the end of story. That's it. First, God says, I'll give you this. And he has to wait and wait and wait and makes a mistake and is forgiven. And finally, God delivers the promise, happily ever after, right? Raise the son, hand him the reins to the family business, buy a condo in Florida, enjoy the rest of your life. You know, that's what it seems like this story should say. But then God appears again and asks the unthinkable. He says, Abraham, take your son, your only son, whom you love, and go up to the region of Moriah and sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I'll tell you about later. God gives this ultimate test. Isaac loses everything Abraham ever wanted and hoped for and dreamed for, and then God calls the question, who do you love more, me or that thing that you've wanted more than anything, your son? Now, at this point, I know many people, and maybe that's you, you'd kind of jettison and say, okay, I'm out. I don't know how could God ever ask such a thing? Or what kind of loving God is that? What kind of, I can't believe in a God that, you know, if he's love, would ask something like that. Now, I don't have good answers to those questions. Those are very tough questions. But what I will say is if you're stuck there, I hope you don't check out right now, because there's a lot more into the story, and there's a lot of good stuff in there, and we have to follow it through to the end. You see, God didn't simply say, Abraham, go kill your son. He could have just said, hey, you're sleeping in this tent, he's sleeping in that tent. Hey, tonight, just go and kill him. No, he didn't tell him to do that. He said, go on a journey. Take him on a journey and trust me. God asked Abraham to go on this journey of trust with his beloved son to the mountains of Moriah, and trust me and do what I tell you. And will you love me most? Well, sometimes following God for us means doing some strange things. It's true. Sometimes following, being faithful to Jesus, being faithful to God, sometimes obeying God means to do some strange things, and you have to trust God to work it out. Now, I don't know what the details are in your life, but it's often true. God asks us to do some weird things and trust him. But how often do we say, no, I don't know if I can do that? See, Abraham knew God promised to make him into a great people. God had made that promise more than once. Abraham knew that Isaac was that promised gift and heir. He knew that. So Abraham knew that God was good and merciful and forgiving and loving and gracious. Abraham knew all those things. And so when he didn't understand, he said, okay, I don't have it all. I'll trust right now. How often do you and I, though, stop obeying God as soon as life gets hard? As soon as I don't understand something, how often do we get mad at God and say, ah, we're through? Or how often do we quit on God the moment things don't go our way, or especially when we just don't understand? Or do we allow, do you and I allow hard times to drive us towards God, especially when we don't understand? You see, Abraham knew that God was asking him to do something that seemed to go against who God is, what he knew about God, but Abraham trusted anyway that God could figure it out. So he went. Now, we don't know what age Isaac was, if he was a teenager or a young adult. We don't know that. But they go on the father-son hiking trip. And it says they go to make sacrifice. We are sinful, and God desired sacrifice of animals as payment for sin then. Except Isaac knew there wasn't an animal along, so he asked, hey Dad, where's the animal? He didn't know the whole story, so he probably asked innocently, and Abraham says, we don't have one. God will figure this one out. We just trust him. And then Genesis 22:5 actually hints at that Abraham trusted that God could solve this. You see, it said there were two other people with them, so not just the two of them. There were other servants that went. Then you get to one point, and it says he leaves those other, and they go alone. And he said, we will come back to you. The boy and I, we will come back to you. So Abraham's saying, God, I have no idea how you're going to work this out, but I'll trust you. And then Hebrews 11, way in the New Testament, kind of tells us that, well, Abraham believed that God could even raise the dead, so he knew he'd figure it out. So then we pick it up in 22. He says, when they reached the place that God told him about, this is verse 9, Abraham built an altar there, arranged wood on it. He says he bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar. Now Isaac's old enough to run away. Isaac's old enough to fight back. He's old enough to... So he's trusting God too. It's not... They're both trusting God, and he laid him on the altar, and he reached his hand and says he took the knife to slay his son, but then the angel of the Lord immediately called from heaven and said, Abraham, stop. Don't lay a hand on him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. And then Abraham looked up, and it said he saw in a thicket, a ram caught by his horns, and he went over and took the ram and sacrificed the ram. And then he called that place, the Lord provides. Yahweh provides. So what is this all about, and what do we do with it? God wanted to know, and it says right at the outset of the story in the Bible, God tested Abraham. God wanted to know that Abraham trusted him above everything. God wanted Abraham to love him more than Isaac. His son could only truly be a gift if he loved God most. And because Abraham showed that he loved God first, then he was actually truly free to love his son in the best way possible. And I wonder for myself, for us, how often do we clutch onto something? We're afraid of losing it, and so we clutch onto it. Call it your Isaac. How often do we clutch it and say, I have to have this? Or how often do we abandon our trust of God the moment something dear to us is threatened and we might lose it? And I don't know what it is for you. If it is something job-related, climbing the ladder at work, or having a certain retirement place, or living somewhere, or seeing your children succeed in a certain way, I don't know what it is for you. But there comes a time in our lives when God asks us to put your Isaac on the altar and says, do you love me and do you trust me? And when Abraham showed that he trusted God, God said, don't hurt him, don't do anything. Now I know that you love me because you have not withheld your one and only dear son from me. Now I think this is a powerful story, but it's not powerful because it's just about Abraham or just about Abraham and Isaac or even about us. I think this is a powerful story because it's about Jesus. The ram was sacrificed, Isaac was spared, but Abraham still needed God's forgiveness. And everyone before Abraham and everyone after Abraham, down to you and me today, still need God's forgiveness that only God can make possible. And nearly 2,000 years later, after this story, in those same mountains, Mount Moriah is where the Temple Mount is in Jerusalem. So in Jerusalem, same area, another firstborn son was stretched out on wood to die. This story matters because of what Jesus did. Jesus is the fulfilled greater Isaac, the one Isaac points towards. Jesus stretched out on the wood of the cross for you, for me. And then I love Tim Keller says this in Counterfeit Gods, his book, we get to be the ones now that say God's words to Abraham. We get to say to God, now I know that you truly love us because you did not withhold your only beloved son for us. God gave his only son to die for you. God gave up the thing he loved most, his one and only son. That's how much God loves you. And that's why you can trust God when it's hard. With everything, when life doesn't make sense, when it seems like God is asking the impossible. You see, God loves you so much, even that he's not even going to hold you accountable eternally for your selfishness and sin and the ways we've messed up in life, because God holds Jesus accountable for you. Jesus was condemned. He hung, and you and I walk free. He was the sacrificial, not ram, but lamb, who died in your place. So whatever it is for you, if it's when life doesn't make sense, when maybe you feel like the thing you've worked for all your life is suddenly being taken from you, or when you think God is asking something hard of you, or when it seems like God is asking to put your Isaac on the altar, and you are being asked to live without something you never thought you could live without, we can look at God and say, God, now we know that you truly love us because you gave up your only beloved, precious son for us. So we can trust God. In his name, amen.